I don't know who originally came up with the name of our church newsletter, the Communicator, but they hit on something that's very important to the life and mission of our congregation, communication. Communication within our fellowship, communication beyond our fellowship. Without communication, we can't make the connections and the cohesion and develop the strength that we need to have together as a body of believers. Without communication, we can't connect with the surrounding community and the larger world beyond the walls of our weekly gatherings. Communication in every way is critical. I think we've learned that even more during this past year, especially in how we've had to rely on technology to connect with one another more, to communicate with one another more, to participate in the life of God's people. Earlier this week, we updated the message on our church sign. The messages on our church sign are one of the ways that we communicate. Communicate within our church, communicate beyond God's people too. We want you as participants in the congregation to be informed, inspired, encouraged, instructed by the words and messages that are on the church sign, but we also want those words to convey something to the huge numbers of people that pass by our church every day here on Highway 210. That's part of its ministry and mission. So through the church sign, we communicate. We communicate with people both inside the fellowship of believers and outside, beyond the fellowship of Jesus followers too. I start to imagine if those first followers of Jesus had had a sign, the message they probably would have put on it is waiting. Waiting. That's the essence of what they had been doing. Jesus had told them to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the gift that the Father had promised, this power from on high. And we're told that at the right time, God's time, they would receive this power from on high. This power would come. It would come upon them in the form of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, which was a feast that celebrated the harvest, celebrated the giving of the law to Moses, God fulfilled his promise. The Holy Spirit filled the followers of Jesus, we're told, and sent them out beyond the secure confines of their own fellowship. I like the way that author Garrison Keillor has summarized the book of Acts when he says, "The flames lit on their little heads, and bravely and dangerously went they onward." Also makes me think that someone in their fellowship may have to go out then and change the message on the church sign from waiting to witnessing. A change. In today's text, this witnessing takes shape, and it takes shape in the form of speech, speaking. Communication through speaking. Jesus' followers voice the gospel in public. And this doesn't require some kind of special language that's imparted to them from heaven by the Spirit. It actually turns out that it's fine in this case that they use their own local Galilean dialect. That's their language. That's just how they talk. And just because they talk that way doesn't mean that other Pentecost pilgrims who were there for the celebration can't hear and understand. As it turns out, the Holy Spirit makes sure of that, that they can hear and understand. When Jesus' followers start speaking, everyone hears the words all at the same time, but in their own language, based on where they've come from and what they speak. So it's interesting that on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's miracle isn't, in this case, a healing or an exorcism or the feeding of a multitude. On this occasion, the Holy Spirit works a wonder of communication, communication across language barriers, communication that connects and unites a people who were racially, ethnically, linguistically diverse and joins them all to the people of God, a people who all call upon the same Lord, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's work in this case is a wonder of communication that unites diverse people. I think the story of Pentecost reminds us that the God we worship and serve is a God who comes close, who gets local, who speaks our language. God came to us in human form. God chose to reveal himself to us through incarnation, to speak the language of incarnation in order to communicate with us, to reveal himself to us, to give himself to us. Author Max Lucado talks about some times when he has ministered in Brazil as a translator for another speaker who was using English in this case. Lucado says, he, that is the speaker, stood before the audience, complete with the message. I stood at his side, equipped with the language. My job was to convey his story to the listeners. I did my best to allow his words to come through me. I was not at liberty, he says, to embellish or subtract. When the speaker beside me gestured, I gestured. As his volume increased, so did my increase. When he got quiet, I got quiet too. And then he goes on to say, when he walked this earth, Jesus was translating God all the time. When God got louder, Jesus got louder. When God gestured, Jesus gestured. He was so in sync with the Father that he could declare, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Jesus is God's way of communicating with us. Jesus translates God to us so that God can be revealed and we can know God. So if Jesus translates God to us, we shouldn't be surprised then that after his life and his death and his resurrection and ascension, Jesus comes to us in an even fuller way through the arrival of the Holy Spirit, who takes the gospel and makes it accessible to people from various regions, people groups, nations, people from all national, racial, ethnic, cultural, linguistic backgrounds. And so while God is doing this, like I said, getting close, getting local, speaking specific language to people so that they may know Christ, all the while God is keeping in view his great cosmic global project of taking all people groups and bringing them into one new humanity through faith in Jesus Christ, one Lord. There's a person who tells about how years ago UNICEF, a United Nations organization, wanted to encourage childhood vaccination among mothers in Rwanda. So part of their communication strategy was posters. The posters, this person indicates, were gorgeous. They were filled with photographs of mothers and children with simple messages in the local language about the importance of vaccinating every child. They were perfect as far as posters go, except for the fact that the illiteracy rate among many mothers was 70% or higher. So even words written in perfect local language made little difference. What eventually became evident was the way that messages spread in that particular part of the country, that particular region or area. Often the messages were communicated by song. One group of women would sing to another group of women in order to share ideas or just to share the song as a gift. In other words, no song, no message. That was part of the way communication happened, through music, through song. I think that as followers of Jesus and witnesses for his kingdom, we always have to pay attention not only to the message that we're trying to communicate, but the medium through which we're trying to communicate it, to get it to its destination. For centuries, the message of Jesus has been spread into diverse cultures with diverse practices and diverse ways. And it's true, there have been times and places where those who have gone forth to promote the gospel have been insensitive or disrespectful of local cultures, or have damaged or destroyed, in some cases, indigenous ways of life. Maybe they've carried out their ministries in ways that were actually contrary to the will and the way and the manner of our Lord. And yet, even with all that, the work of the Holy Spirit has somehow gone forth and gone out to enliven and empower the expression of the good news, and to express that good news in local language, local terms, local cultures and practices, local forms, and to do that without necessarily stampeding over other people and their cultures, but to treat them as people whom God loves, who have been reached and touched, redeemed by God in Christ. Earlier this week, I got an update from our International Mission Board about one of the ministries that our gifts and prayers go towards supporting each year. This particular couple, their names are Jay and Kathy Shafto, and they serve in the Congo Basin area of sub-Saharan Africa, reaching people groups who've never actually heard the gospel in their own language. And in this case, the means of conveying the stories of Scripture, conveying the gospel, isn't simply through preaching or teaching in the traditional sense, but they record videos of Bible stories, which they tell in their own heart language. And then those videos are used to share the good news in the language of the people, language that they connect with. These videos have even been used in areas beyond the Congo Basin itself. There was an IMB missionary who was stateside for a while and happened to cross paths with a pastor who was from that region of the world. And he showed the videos to that particular pastor, and the pastor was amazed. That's my language. That's the Bible in my language, he said. Our group's language. I think his response there was an echo of that exclamation that we hear in today's scripture passage from Acts on Pentecost, when the crowds in Jerusalem said, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, in our language." Go back to today's missions moment video, and you saw the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit has enabled a church planter, James Amar, to reach 24 different people groups in one suburb of Atlanta. And part of the way to do that was through speaking the gospel, preaching it, teaching it, conveying it in their language that they could receive. And to think about how the Holy Spirit worked in that story to bring him together with his friend who could help him learn more about American culture, American practices, to tell what's alike, what's different, how the gospel needs to be conveyed in particular contexts, what kind of questions need to be asked, what kinds of methods need to be adopted, what kind of approach do you need to take. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit, forming connections, enabling the translation and communication of the gospel to different people from different backgrounds and experiences. The Spirit, we learn in the scripture passage today, the Spirit is the one who enables the speaking of the gospel, yes, but the Spirit's also the one who enables the hearing of the gospel and the receiving of the gospel, and calls forth faith in Christ and obedience to Christ, following him. Those are glimpses of what God is doing in the world, other parts of the world, and here in our own nation. We always need to keep in mind, as we're gathered locally here, what's going on, like our text says, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What's happening there in the world and in our nation? But what about even closer to home, here in our own local Jerusalem, in that sense, this part of the world where God is sending us? Our community has changed over the years. The local context of our church's witness here where we are is dynamic, unfolding, more diverse in many ways than it used to be in previous decades. So part of what we have to do is to continue to be discerning about and responsive to what the Holy Spirit is calling us as a congregation to do, to be, to speak, to say, to preach, to teach, and how to do it here in our day and time. We have to continue being discerning about and responsive to the Spirit's leadership, engaging with our community, connecting with its population and its needs, its concerns, its issues. So in that sense, in the broad sense, we have to continually learn how to speak the language of our day and time, where we are in this part of God's world as followers of Jesus, to know how to speak the language where we are, communicate the gospel in word and in deed as the Holy Spirit works. And part of the Holy Spirit's work, like we've seen, is to gather followers of Jesus into the Spirit's work of translating the gospel. So we need to be discerning about and responsive to how the Holy Spirit wants us to communicate, convey the gospel here where we are now in this context, in our day and time. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will enable you and me and us as a church to communicate the gospel through a verbal witness about who Jesus is, what it means to confess Him as Lord and Savior and to follow Him with your life. Sometimes our witness will take a verbal form like that. Sometimes your witness for Christ may take an even more embodied form. In other words, your daily way of living, how your actions themselves, how your conduct in your daily life conveys the reign of God to other people and communicates the gospel to them in some way or another. That's part of what the Spirit can do in our lives too. There was a biblical scholar named H.J. Cadbury. He was a Quaker, and he was one of the great translators of the New Testament. During World War II, Cadbury spent a lot of his time rolling bandages with the American Friends Service Society, and someone came up to him and said, "Dr. Cadbury, don't you think that it's a sad thing that you're giving up translating the New Testament in order to do this? Don't you think, Dr. Cadbury, it's a sad thing that you're giving up translating the New Testament in order to roll bandages?" And he said, "I am translating the New Testament." He was translating the New Testament through his actions, his deeds, his work of compassion. Remember that the Spirit who came upon those first followers in Jerusalem at Pentecost still comes upon us in our lives as we follow Jesus individually, as we follow Jesus together as a church. And part of what the Spirit wants to do is to make you and me and us together more skilled at the work of translation of the gospel. The Spirit enables us to communicate the gospel in a contemporary context where our language can take many forms. Sometimes it means taking into account the diverse languages spoken by the people in our neighborhoods, our schools, our marketplaces, or places of work. Sometimes that means taking into account the language of technology, the language of music and the arts, the language of science, the language of the marketplace. We need the Holy Spirit to help each of us individually and all of us as together, together as a congregation, to know how should I and how should we be faithful communicators of the gospel in the specific context where you're living out your daily life of following Jesus. And most of all, we need the Holy Spirit's help to enable us to speak the language of mercy, the language of compassion, the language of reconciliation, the language of redemption through Jesus Christ. We need the Spirit to help us translate the gospel. for where you are and where I'm at and where we are now as a church. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for sending your Spirit upon us to do many things, including to help us communicate the gospel. Show each of us and all of us together how to translate the good news of Jesus Christ into the context where we are each day following him. Thank you that we are not alone as we go forth with the good news, but that we have your church here, we have your church throughout the world in the partnership of Christ. We pray for our congregation as we embody and express the gospel here in our day and time, here in our community where we are. Give us the guidance and power of your Holy Spirit to know how to do that and bring forth fruit from it, that others will come to faith in Christ, into your kingdom, that you will be glorified. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.